the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
How you doing? The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. And in this episode, we're going to talk about a topic that you see everywhere these days. The traditional martial arts versus MMA. Now, of course, the MMA people have no time for traditional martial arts most of the time, even though every single technique in MMA comes from a traditional martial art. And the traditionalists slag off the MMA people, saying, oh, there's too many rules and it wouldn't work on the street, blah, blah, blah. Which, of course, it would, because just because they use rules in the ring, they can still fight dirty outside of the ring. It's not really a thing, or it shouldn't really be a thing, the MMA versus traditional martial arts, because a traditional martial art should be weapons-based and have a small section for unarmed, and you should be able to use it until you can get another weapon. So, in reality, a true martial art would have 90% weapons and 10% unarmed. That should be the traditional way, and as far as I can see, it always was. And for some reason, that has become reversed over the years, where they have a massive unarmed section and rarely teach or practice with weapons. And it should be the complete opposite of martial art. Now, MMA is a combat sport, and it really is an effective combat sport. There is no art that can take on MMA and win in the MMA cage, or maybe even outside. But it is one of those arts where you take what you want from other arts and mix them together and train them and become proficient in whatever you want your specialty to be, whether that be grappling, takedowns, stand-up. But you can do it all. So, traditional martial arts, weapons-based with a small bit of unarmed defense. Combat sports, 100% unarmed. Obviously, I'm not taking into account kendo and eskrima, etc. But I'm taking into the sport of MMA, or mixed martial arts, is purely unarmed. Now, if you are learning a traditional martial art, you really should have a word with your teacher about why are you not learning weapons first? Getting your ground, getting your balance, getting all your footwork done, because it should all lead to weapons. And any true martial art is weapons-based, with a small proportion of it dedicated to unarmed arts, whereas combat sports such as MMA, catch wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai are combat sports, and very, very effective they are inside and outside the ring. So really, what I would say is learn your traditional martial arts, all the weapons, the unarmed that they have to offer, and then if you really want to take unarmed further, you go for an art such as boxing or catch wrestling or even MMA as a style. You know, you could even take up a traditional empty hand style like karate. So, you know, you can go that way. But, yeah, but a true martial art is weapons-based with unarmed, whereas a combat sport is purely that niche of what they are when they fight, such as mixed martial arts, when they go into the ring and they box, they kick, they grapple, etc. So if you want to learn unarmed defense, take everything your martial art has to offer, but train in a supplement art such as MMA as a style, or catch wrestling, or any kind of wrestling, boxing even. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the unarmed parts of traditional martial arts won't work. Of course they will. Put enough time into them, enough training into them, and you will have an effective means of unarmed protection. But if you want to really, really go all out for unarmed, you've got to choose like a modern combat sport or a self-defense dedicated art, such as maybe Krav Maga, you know, catch wrestling, etc., boxing. So you really do need to supplement what you've got with that. Otherwise, you may end up on the wrong end of a blade. Now, we at the English Martial Arts were very lucky because although our stuff is weapons-based and our prizes are taken with weapons, etc., we also had what the old-style boxers called pugilism. And pugilism, although English, was separate from our weapons. So we had a complete unarmed style and a complete weapons style. So our traditional martial arts are weapons and unarmed, which is very unusual in the martial arts world. And we're very, very lucky that our art included the old style boxing, using the head, knees, elbows, per kicking and other means of kicking, throwing, grappling, etc. So it really, really is a complete unarmed art, as well as our weapons being complete in their weapons practice. One thing I would say, when you actually go to a martial arts place where, I mean, if it's traditional, that is, I'm talking about traditional martial arts, when you start training, you should ask your teacher why you're not learning weapons first. Now, if you look at a traditional martial art like Eskrima, they teach you weapons first, and they start to mix it with unarmed as well, but weapons first. Combat sport like kendo, weapons. I mean, always weapons first in a martial art, because a martial art was meant to be used on a battlefield, and nobody goes onto a battlefield unarmed. If they do, they're dead within seconds. You know, spears and all that being employed, swords, knives, everything, guns even these days. But you've got to be able to use weapons proficiently to become proficient at your unarmed, unless your style is dedicated to competition, or unless it's dedicated to self-defense. And you've got to be aware that not all teachers or so-called masters know the weapon side of it very well. I mean, there's no point taking your little bit of unarmed martial arts that you get from your traditional martial arts, if it's taught right, and trying to take on people like cage fighters. You're going to get the floor wiped with you. Like all the Wing Chun we see when they take on the Zhao Zedong, whatever his name is, or other cage fighters or boxers, they get absolutely hammered. I mean, that's not their fault. Obviously, they've not trained against proper boxers or MMA people. I mean, if they really want to do well, they should invite an MMA man or a boxer or a kickboxer into their gym and say to him, right, come at me. And then you'll learn quickly what you can do and what you can't do, and how to improve and work on what you can't do so that you can do. I mean, it's like when you come to our gym, you will be taught weapons first, and you will get some of the unarmed thrown in so that you can practice unarmed as well as weapons. But we're weapons first. We will teach you the cudgel and the quarterstaff first before you start anything else, because good weapons practice lays up the best foundation for unarmed practice in traditional martial arts. In combat sports, you're purely fighting to the rules they have, and you concentrate more on body conditioning, fitness, all those kind of things. So they're two different worlds, although they do meet in the middle in certain places, because they're both fighting art. So really, instead of squabbling all the time and fighting, they should, you know, people should get together and exchange ideas and make sure that, I mean, these MMA boxers, all that kind of thing, I mean, you should show them your technique, and they'll be able to see, you know, where it goes wrong. And I mean, and they can learn weapons, and, you know, it really is a world where everybody should exchange with everybody until all martial arts become mixed martial arts, because otherwise, the traditional styles are just going to stagnate and die off whereas the new athletic styles of combat sports are going to flourish. I mean, we don't want to lose the traditional arts, because a lot of people find it fulfilling because they have different philosophies. It's a way of life, how you live your life, etc. You know, whereas the combat sports are there to get fit, get body condition, enter competitions, you know, so everyone can learn off everyone if they're willing. But you do get these teachers where it's mine, you can't see it, you know, what we do is perfect and it's so lethal, we can't show it and we definitely can't take it in the ring, which is all rubbish, absolute rubbish. You know, there is nothing about anybody's art that is so lethal that you can't train it. And the people that say that are just making excuses. Now, even as a traditional martial art that adapts, I would say that's what we're training. We've trained two people up for MMA matches. We worked on the lady we trained. She won her first match, lost her second match, you know, so came out even. We're now actually at the moment getting three people ready for white collar. No, two people for white collar MMA and one for amateur MMA. So, I mean, we've adapted our traditional stuff to the modern day stuff, and it works. So that's why we're putting our people, or they want to go into the competition, and win or lose, they'll learn something, and it will be a great day or a great night, and we'll go and have a laugh and watch them fight, and you know, it's just a good, great sporting events, these kind of things, and you can really, really get a lot out of them. But you've got to be willing to adapt, and you've got to be knowledgeable enough to know how to teach properly, you know, how to teach properly so that people train properly, train safely, don't get hurt during training too much. Although, you know, sparring and things like that, you do get bumps and bruises, but, you know, that's to be expected. Okay, so that's it, and we come to the end of another English martial arts podcast, and hopefully you'll tune in next time. And we'll see you soon. Thank you, and bye.
Listen to us, 'cause we listen to you.